This is the first official episode for the YouTube channel as well as for the podcast. So in today's episode, we're also going to be taking a deep dive into 138 Student Living. It's going to be our first or premier case study, and we're going to be talking about the management. We're going to be running it under my seven pillars for successful value investing, and we're going to look at the journey of that. As I mentioned before, the case study is going to be focused around 138 Student Living. 138 Student Living was founded in 2014, but it was incorporated in April 2014 by the husband and wife pair, John and Marinette Lee, through their holding company, which is K Limited, based in St. Lucia. A little aside here, I realize that a lot of holding companies seem to be based in St. Lucia or in the Cayman Islands, and there's a simple reason for it. So if you're ever reading an annual report or quarterly statement and you see where they say this company is a subsidiary of, say, XYZ company, which is located or incorporated in St. Lucia, it's because of the tax advantages. So in a lot of different countries, there are different tax advantages that corporations get. St. Lucia currently offers one of the more favorable tax advantages to businesses and to investors alike. So 138 Student Living, its holding company is called K Limited and is incorporated in St. Lucia. The primary business of the company is to provide accommodations for students at the University of the West Indies Mona campus, where I work. And the company had their initial public offering in November of 2017. Specifically, it was November 27, 2017. So less than 3 years ago. Basically, what an initial public offering is, it's essentially when a company basically offers up its shares, hence initial, for the first time to the public, enabling them to purchase ownership interest, which is what a share represents, in that company through the local stock exchange. So when 138 Student Living came to the market, they actually offered two different classes of shares. They offered ordinary shares as well as preference shares. And I'm going to do a video where I will go into details on IPOs and on shares and all the little caveat, or rather the jargon of investing. But there are a lot of resources I'm sure that you can find to just to follow along. But for 138 Student Living, they actually offered 82,900,000 shares in the ordinary class, and then 33,680,000 shares in the preference share class. So that's essentially the company. Less than 3 years old, main business is to provide accommodation for students, particularly international students, residing on and studying at the UWI Mona campus. So essentially what I'm going to do now is I'm going to do my seven pillar analysis on 138 Student Living. So I had written an article before which was entitled Seven Pillars for Successful Value Investing. You can find it at bestyoupro.com under the investing tab. Just search bestyoupro for value investing or pillars for successful value investing, and it will come up. So The seven pillars are essentially price, profitability, profitability, and I differentiate between those two. I make a distinction between profitability, which is how profitable the company has been, and profitability, which is the ability of the company to realize profits in the future or on an ongoing basis. The third one is people, which details management. The fourth is practicality of the business. Fifth is the psychology of the market. Sixth is performance. And the last one I'm going to save until we actually get to it. So in terms of price, 138, the IPO came out for the ordinary class of shares. They came out at $4 Jamaican. That's actually less than 3 cents US. So you can do the conversion for your particular currency if you're not in Jamaica, which most of it probably won't be anyway. The preference shares actually came out at $5, which is about 4 cents US, using today's conversion rate. In terms of price movement, the stock prices really have not moved since 2014. There have not been any significant movements in the prices, despite the fact that 2015 was the best performing year in the Jamaican stock market. And also, irrespective of the fact that even to date, the Jamaica Stock Exchange, the All Composite Index, is up by more than 22%. The stock price for 138 is still in the 4-5 range, so not a very big price movement there. Other companies, though, have seen dramatic price movements. Berger, for example, Berger Paints was trading at $3 in 2016, that's $3 Jamaican, which is about 3 cents US, 2 cents US actually. And it actually went as high as $20 Jamaican, or 20 cents US. In terms of profitability, so again, I'm going to make a distinction in looking at 138SL. I'm going to make a distinction between its profitability, meaning how profitable it has been, and its profitability, which is its ability to make profit on an ongoing basis in the future. So in terms of profitability, naturally when a company comes out for the very first time, when it's just started, most likely it's going to start with some amount of liabilities, and the assets are going to be minimum. So in the case of 138SL, when they started, they actually had no assets, no real assets per se, and they had the debt burden as well as the equity obligation in the form of the preference shares. However, up to today's date, and to the being July 31st, well, really it's August 1st, 2017. Up to today's date, the company has realized north of $20 million in profit in less than 3 years. And I'm talking net profit. So, further to that just gives you an indication as to the profitability of the company, meaning its historic profits. Now, in terms of its profitability, which is the ongoing basis, the company is essentially a real estate management company. They're also developers of real estate. And so they have actually chosen a very niche market in which to position themselves. It is not likely that the University of the West Indies Mona will be going out of business anytime soon. Over the last 3 years, to actually include, well, not include, but it has expanded to now have an engineering, a school of engineering, which is now taking in close to 1,000 students, or more than that. And the School of Medicine has also expanded. The number of programs being offered at the university has also been widely diversified and has been growing over the past 5 years. So, in terms of the prospective for 138 going forward, they actually have what I would say is a really good outlook. They just recently completed the renovation, well, more rebuilding than renovation of one of our traditional halls, and that now is going to cater for more than 500 new residents. And the profits are going to be realized in US dollars because the rent is actually in US dollars. So in terms of profitability and profitability, those are two check marks that I think are the company has been doing well under the microscope of profitability and profitability. So the third pillar is people, which is effectively the management of the company. So that's what I'll expound on in doing the analysis from that perspective. And this might be a little bit more superficial. I'm going to be doing a far more in-depth video on the current directors, and you can tell me if you would like for me to also do videos on some of the more notable directors in public companies, not just in Jamaica, but in any of the primary exchanges that I just mentioned before. And if you're curious about a director or a CEO for a company that is on the New York Stock Exchange or that is on the London Stock Exchange, and you can also leave that in the comments. And I'll look into it. So, in terms of people, so the top 10 shareholders for 138 Student Living include Sagicor and essentially all of its subsidiaries. They own 30% of the $369,046,885 shares that were issued in the initial public offering. Then there is K Limited, and which comprises primarily John and Marinette Lee, and then there is Barita Investment, which is one of our most long-standing investment companies. The directors on the board of 138 Student Living are renowned architect Douglas Siddle. Angela Lee Hoy, I'm sure most people would have heard that name before, Sharon Donaldson, Debian Gordon, and of course John and Mary McLean. In terms of the operations of the management, oh, and by the way, I intend to do a very extensive video looking at the history, the education, experience of the directors of most of the companies that will be covered under the case studies. So that's something you can look forward to. I'm going to need to come up with a name for that series, but you can leave suggestions for that in the comments. I'd appreciate that. So in terms of how they have managed the company, essentially all of the promises that the directors have made to shareholders, both ordinary and preference, have been kept to date. And as a matter of fact, things have been progressing and materializing much faster than the timeline estimated. For example, well, one good example is the fact that 138 was not expected to realize any profits until September of this year, September 2017. We're in August 2017 and already they've realized 20 million in net profits. Further to that, they actually realized net profit last year in 2015. Well, in 2015, they realized the net profits of just over $1 million. In terms of management, I've always been confident in the management from day one. Sagicor also is confident in the management because they actually increased their stake in the company up to 30%. That was not what they had. That was not their original investment in the company, or not their original stake. Practicality, a fourth pillar of analysis for a potential value investment. So in terms of 138 student living, the business is highly practical. It's rental real estate. That's essentially what it is, except that it is short-term rental real estate. However, I would not want to have you, well, I would not want to try to convince you that it is all sunshine and sands for the company. They have had their hiccups. What's more, the target market for the company is university students, and particularly it's overseas students who are coming to study at the University of the West Indies. Though the rents are charging US dollars, there are at least 3 months out of the year when those students will not be on the campuses and will not be occupying those rooms. In fact, there was a case where they actually had a disgruntled customer, because it was publicized that they were actually charging, holding persons to a 1 year contract as opposed to the typical 9 month contract, which is which runs parallel or to the school terms. But the hall was recently renamed to the Leslie Robinson Hall, and what had come out was that this person was saying that the Leslie Robinson Hall was charging them and tying them in to a 12-month contract. Further to that, they were raising laundry fees. They raised it by, I think it was 100%, and they were also charging the parents for staying with their children overnight when they would just come to for orientation or stuff like that. To date, I haven't seen any responses from the company regarding that situation. But I would think, given the management and given the fact that they do have a concessionary agreement with the University of West Indies, that they would try to mitigate stuff like that. In the past, I know that the university has actually subsidized fees for the hall. So I would hope that there has been some mitigation in the price for rental on the Leslie Robinson Hall. Nonetheless, the business is highly practical. It's ultimately where all investors want to go. Well, not really all, but a majority of investors see real estate as the ultimate investment. And so them being in this niche market actually solidifies their footing and gives them actually a platform to go into other territories to basically replicate the model that they started here. The fifth pillar that I use for successful value investment is actually psychology. So in regards to the price movement, or rather the lack of price movement, it tells us something about the market perception of the company. And what it tells us is that the general market has not paid much attention to this stock, and this despite various profitable endeavors that they've undertaken. and various quote-unquote good news that has actually come to light. It's the fact that the psychology around this stock is more or less, what do you say, neutral, is reflected in the price, as well as it is evidenced by the small volumes that trade within any normal or 30-day average period. Like I said before, one of the reasons I actually chose this company for the debut of Beyond the Stock Price is because I was watching the market, and I actually saw when the block of 1.5 million shares traded. You can actually see the screenshot on the screen right now if you're watching this. But yes, so the psychology isn't there. It would imply to me now, however, that institutional investors, or only an institutional investor could buy 1.5 million shares at $4, are now, or rather big box investor, could be one of those two. But what it's saying is that somebody is picking up on the achievements of the company, and soon we will start to see the price go moving closer to the true value of the company. In terms of performance, let's remember that in 2016 the net profit for the company was $26 million versus $1.3 million for the restated value in 2015. So that gives you an indication as to what the performance of the company is to look like. And I say that particularly with reference to the 2017 financial year, primarily because of the just completed construction of the Irving Halls, which again is going to provide 500 plus rooms for prospective students. So with the new Irving Hall now completed, we can expect that there will be a significant rise in the profits for the year 2018, not necessarily 2017, but 2018, and I'll talk more about that later on. But we can also expect there to be a significant addition to the balance sheet when the completed structures are incorporated into the financials. Now, note, I did not say that we should be seeing a substantial rise in neither profits or, in terms of capital appreciation for ourselves as investors, or earnings for 2017. And this actually leads me perfectly into the last point and my last pillar for successful fundamental value investing. And it reiterates why this stock was chosen to debut as a first case study. But before I do that, I just want to mention that the company in 2016 also earned 0.6 cents Jamaican, whereas in 2015 the company had not made any profits, any earnings per stock unit at all. And so that leads me into the last pillar for successful value investing, which is patience. The fact of the matter is, and Benjamin Graham actually said this, he said that in the long run, paraphrasing, in the long run, how we behave is far more important than how our investments behave. Typically, investments will, over time, reach to their, what we call their intrinsic value, meaning the price that you pay will be very closely related to the actual value of the business itself. So I want to reiterate then, at this point, that we must remember that stocks are not just tickers are not just symbols or just moving electronic signals on a screen, but there are actually fundamentally strong companies beneath some of those stocks. Not all of them, some of them are fads. In the vast majority, some companies really do have really, really good businesses underlying their stock price. So for me personally, and in my story, this is again bolstering the reason why I chose 138 Student Living for the case study today, is the fact that when the IPO came out in November of 2014, I actually purchased 3,000 units of the preference shares at the IPO price, which is a minuscule sum in the grand scheme, but I did it to learn the value of patience. At that time, I had just gotten introduced to the Intelligent Investor. At that point, I was just learning. I literally had just started my account just a month before, and so I actually opted to get the preference shares because I knew the prices would not move dramatically and I have to wait until whenever time that the company or the management decided they would be paying dividends in order to get any returns on it at all. So my best bet would be to essentially just sit down and watch it if I so chose, or to just basically buy it, leave it, and just wait. And that again is the point of patience. Now for me, I am anticipating a sizable payoff in 2018. Note, not this year, but in 2018, from the accumulated dividends as well as any price appreciation that would have been gained on my common stock. And I do have some, again, a minuscule amount, but I do have some common stocks in 138 Student Living. But regardless of the price appreciation and regardless of what the dividend payout is, I have no intention of selling my preference shares. And the reason for that is simply that I want to continue learning this lesson as well as I see the profit ability of the company looking 20, 40, even 60 years down the line. Should the current price levels actually persist for the common stock, it is quite likely that I will be trying to get more of those. Using my seven pillars, you can probably see why. However, please note, I am not telling you that you should be buying 138 Student Living. It is just a case study for the educational purposes, and I am by no means a financial advisor. More specifically, I am not your financial advisor. So you can actually just use this information as educational information, and that should make you my hope then is to make you a more educated value investor, and so such that you can apply the tenets of true value investing in whatever market it is that you're participating. So that's going to actually end this section. You can join me in the next segment where we'll talk numbers. My name is Deborah David. It has been my distinct pleasure.